St. Stephen's, welcome to worship. Whoever you are and wherever you are very welcome here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's declare our intentionality in coming to worship today by saying the call to worship. We have gathered to worship God. We have come seeking comfort, inspiration, community, and insight. We have come to open ourselves to the power of God's presence in our midst. We have come to offer up the seasons and the turnings in our lives and to ask God's help in our learning and our growing. And as we do that, we light the Christ candle, welcoming Jesus in his sanctuary. Let's worship in prayer. We look to you, O Christ, as our example of how to love God and neighbour sacrificially. Your command is not always easy to put into action, yet it is clear. In the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that during this time of worship, you will fill us with grace, mercy, and resolve to really be your loving people in this time and place. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. And we come to a time of confession. Let's go together to the throne of grace. It is difficult to admit, compassionate God, how unneighbourly we really are in our failure to show compassion for those around us in need, and how easily we pass by them and do nothing. Forgive us, we pray, and fill us with your love. Remove from our hearts all that prohibits us from serving and saving those who are suffering as victims of life at its worst. And set within us the redemptive love of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Friends, On the cross, Jesus has shown us that there are absolutely no limits to his love and no limits to his grace and forgiveness. In Jesus, we have seen just how far God's love will go to give us life. We are forgiven, we are freed, and we are loved beyond measure. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. The English Standard Version. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you have been with us over the past few weeks, you will know that we are in the part of Luke's gospel when the reality of following Jesus started to get particularly challenging. In just over 1 chapter, we have heard Jesus explain that we can all expect to be sent out, every one of us, to share the life and the love that we have found by following him. And he's warned us that as we do this, as we go, there are going to be significant challenges and times when the going just gets pretty tough. Jesus says that when those times come, his followers need to dig down deep and get even more serious about him and about the mission he calls us to be a part of. In our efforts to follow him, we need to emulate the same single-minded determination that he has, not letting anything distract us from what he is leading us to be about. Well, today the road he leads us on gets even steeper. Now, the challenge that is put before us in this reading can actually be hidden from us, simply because of our familiarity with this parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Even more, the challenge can be hidden by our culture's appropriation of this parable and the interpretation that has been developed to go along with that. Most people, Christian or otherwise, think that being a Good Samaritan simply means being willing to be someone who is a person who will go and help those in need. And while there is some truth to that, on its own, it is a rather pale and insipid interpretation of what Jesus was really trying to teach through this story. This whole episode began with a man who approached Jesus and asked him about how he could experience eternal life. And that's an important aspect of this story to remember. So I'm going to ask you just to hold on to that for a few minutes, and we will come back to it. The man questioning Jesus was a religious scholar, and consequently, he was an expert in Jewish law. The question he asked Jesus was a test. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, being a good rabbi, Jesus responded with his own question. What does the law say? Now, that should be an easy one for a religious scholar, right? The man would have had the answer at his fingertips. You need to love God with everything you have and all that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus concurs. That is, all that needs to be done to live. Well, the poor scholar, he couldn't leave well enough alone, and within minutes he would regret his next step. You see, his motives were complicated. He wasn't just asking an innocent question. He was trying to test Jesus. And even more, he was trying to show off his own expertise in the law. So he challenged Jesus to clarify who exactly qualifies as our neighbor. And with that, the conversation quickly became a discussion about what God means by neighbor and about what it means to be a neighbor ourselves. Jesus could see what the scholar was up to. He was trying to get Jesus to give him a limit beyond which he wouldn't have to go. He was basically saying, how far do we need to take this command to love our neighbors, Jesus? And how much does God expect of us? Where does that command to love our neighbors actually stop? Well, his question reveals something important about the scholar and about how righteous he actually was or wasn't, and about how well he understood the very law he was supposed to be an expert in. Now, before we get too judgmental of this fellow, let's have the honest courage to do some self-reflection. Do we do this? Do we look for the bounds beyond which we don't need to go? What are the limitations of our love? And what exactly justifies those limitations? Most pointedly for us today, like that religious expert, do we actually believe that there are aspects of our religion that justify us withholding our love from some people? Ouch. There it is. There's the challenge. And with it, this road we are on with Jesus gets a little steeper still. Back to the story. Jesus can see exactly what's going on here. So he did what he does so brilliantly. Rather than choosing a direct confrontation and telling this man how seriously misguided he is, Jesus told a story. But make no mistake, this was not Jesus letting that fellow off the hook. No, this story would have made that religious scholar extremely uncomfortable. Because this was not a story about just anybody. This was a story about some Jewish people and a Samaritan. And if you were with us a couple of weeks ago, you'll remember that there was no love lost between those two groups of people. In general, Jews and Samaritans considered themselves to be enemies. While they each claimed to worship God, the God of the ancient Hebrew people, they each had their own scriptures and their own temple and their own religious practices. And most importantly, they each believed that their ways were right and righteous, and the other's ways were an offense to the God they worshipped. So these were two people groups who were deeply divided by religious and ethnic conflict. And in this parable, Jesus told a story in which the supposedly righteous people, two Jews, a Levite and a priest — a Levite is a layperson called to attend to God in the temple — the Levite and the priest did the wrong thing, and they were shown up by someone most of the Jews at the time would have considered to be not just entirely unrighteous, but worse, their bitter enemy. An enemy of God, they thought. The Levite and the priest, as we heard, passed by on the other side, but the Samaritan stopped to help and arguably went beyond the extra mile in caring for the injured man. Now remember, it's not explicitly said, but the implication in this story is that the man lying in the ditch, half dead, was actually Jewish. So imagine what it might have been like for that man to watch as, not once, but twice, someone came along that he thought would help him, but they didn't. Quite the opposite, actually. They went to some lengths to avoid having any contact with him. They crossed the road and walked by. What must that have been like for that poor guy? And then what would he have thought when along came a rotten Samaritan, a man he most certainly would not have known, but would have hated anyway? And this man didn't cross the road and walk on. No, this man came to his side, tended his wounds, and then took him to an inn where he could receive proper care and where he could recover in comfort and safety. As the Samaritan came to help, that injured man may very well have wished to die rather than take that help from his enemy. Or maybe the pain was enough that he was willing to accept help from anyone who would offer it. I think at first it's hard for us to imagine being in a situation like that. Many of us like to think that we don't have any enemies. We are nice, friendly, unoffensive Canadians, right? Amy Jill Levine is a contemporary Jewish biblical scholar, and she has spent a lot of time studying this parable. And in the end, she's come up with a question from it. A question that challenges us to be honest with ourselves. She says that we should think of ourselves as that person in the ditch and then ask, is there anyone from any group of people who we wouldn't want help from because we would rather die than accept their help? That question is absolutely critical, and it is the question that lies at the heart of this parable, because it reveals that just like that scholar who was testing Jesus, there might actually be some limitations to our love. There is a story in my husband's family that kind of speaks to this question, and with his permission, I'm going to share it with you today. Many of you know Simon, and many of you know that his mum's side of the family are from Belfast in Northern Ireland. Simon's parents brought he and his brothers to Canada in 1969, and in doing that, they managed to avoid their boys having to live through the horrible years of conflict and violence that plagued Northern Ireland. Conflict and violence that was rooted in and fueled by religious and ethnic differences. In Belfast, they weren't Jews and Samaritans. They were British and Irish. They were Roman Catholic and Protestants. But the net result was very similar. Hatred, fueled by years of pain and trauma on both sides, that wasn't just on the news, but actually happening on the street outside your house. In April of 1998, the Good Friday Agreement was signed in Northern Ireland, and that marked the end of much of the violence, thanks be to God. On April 20th of the very next year, 1999, Simon's beloved grandfather, Granddad Skinner, went to do his daily duty as a school crossing guard at the local elementary school. He helped all of the children get safely across the crosswalk and into school before the morning bell rang. And minutes later, he fell to the ground, suffering a massive heart attack. Granddad was a good and faithful, loving Lenny Skinner, prayed for their family in Canada every day, including Simon and his wife and their children. Prayers, I actually truly believe, are part of why I was finally captivated by Jesus 23 years ago. Granddad was a good Christian, and he was a good Protestant. And as he lay on the sidewalk, finally being met by the God he had loved for so many years, the first person on the scene was another good, faithful Christian man, a Roman Catholic priest, who didn't pass by on the other side, but went to try to help. He was the first person there that day, and he went to help. And somehow, that just seems so fitting when we heard that. In those moments, the history, the fear, the prejudice, the pain, it no longer mattered. What mattered was compassion and love and doing what he could. To me, that moment seems somehow redemptive. And what if that is not just some sentimental flight of fancy on my part? What if it really was redemptive? What if our willingness to show unrestricted kindness and love, even to the people we consider to be our enemies, what if that really is redemptive in some way? What if our willingness to give of ourselves, to step past the things that hold us back and really be a neighbor to the last person we might consider to be our neighbor? What if that actually does something in the eternal realm? Remember the religious scholar who was testing Jesus that day? He said he wanted to know how he could experience eternal life. Wouldn't it be just like Jesus to take him at his word and to tell him exactly how he might experience the life God promises us, not just on the other side of death, but on this side as well? What if Jesus really meant it? That loving God with our whole being and loving our neighbors as ourselves, any and all of our neighbors. What if that really is the way that we can experience that eternal life today? Wouldn't that be something, neighbor? Amen.
Let's Good morning. Please pray with me. God of the universe, magnificent creator, we give you thanks for all you provide. Look around, you tell us. See the beauty I have given you. Celebrate the colors, the sunshine, the breezes, the sounds. All this is for you to enjoy. Celebrate the beauty, you tell us. It is through your grace that we get to enjoy this home you've made for us. Make us mindful of our obligation to be good stewards of this world. Make us mindful that we share the globe with other people and so many other species. Thank you for your grace and promise of forgiveness. Thank you for encouraging us to stand up before you with boldness and confidence. God, we ask that you speak eloquently to the hearts of those who use war and violence to effect change. We pray for an end to the war in Gaza and the surrounding lands. It must stop. We pray for an end to the war in the Ukraine. It must stop. Build peace. Restore communities. Help us to find compromises that can move us forward. God, we pray for our towns, cities, provinces, and our country. During this time of social and political upheaval, give us a sense of your purposes, your solutions, and especially your peace. God, we pray for social justice for those without homes, food, income, jobs. Soften our hearts. Show us the reality of hardship faced by so many who have so little, so many who are often shown disrespect as being lesser than us. We remember all those who are ill, physically or mentally, alone or lonely, grieving with hearts that seem to be ready to break. Be near, God. Bring healing, nurture, companionship. Show us how we can help our sisters and brothers in need, and encourage us to step forward. We ask all these things and pray the prayer that your Son taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you for all the ways that you faithfully give to the mission and work of Jesus Christ here at St. Stephen's and in the world beyond. Let's pray together, offering all these gifts back to God who has provided so generously for us. Let's pray the offertory prayer. We bring these gifts to you, O Lord, because we know there are needs we cannot meet alone. Working through your church, may they bring deeds and words that will comfort the afflicted and bring healing to those who suffer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, Life is short, and we don't have too much time to gladden the hearts of those we walk with. So go being ready to love, and don't hesitate to show kindness. And as you go, may the blessing of the deep mystery of God, the Father who is the very source of life, love, and hope, the Son who is the Word of life, and the Holy Spirit, who is God's ever-present Spirit of grace, be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.